Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who sent down to us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته من يوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمه ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. And revealed in the last ayah, this day have I completed my favor upon you and have perfected, completed for you your way of life and perfected my favor upon you and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahu al-mulk. His is the kingdom. Wa lahu al-hamd. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدْهِ الْخَيْرِ In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Oh Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, wa yayyuhal al-muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa jumu'ah mubarak. A'udhu billahi min shaytan rajim. Wa ma anfaqtum min nafaqatin. أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلم وما لظالمين من أنصار صدق الله العظيم. That is an expression of it is, and whatever you spend in charity or in devotion, be sure that Allah knows it. But for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a hadith, it's also a dua that the Prophet gave us. And it is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hamni wal-huzni والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن والدالئين وغلبة الرجال. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Quran is saying, صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this dua of the Prophet, and it will be recognized by many of you who came through the door of the Nation of Islam and you stood in the ranks of the fruit of Islam, not knowing that this was a dua from the Prophet. It was just given to us as an Islamic prayer, and not as salat. That was the way that we prayed. Let me move on with this. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you, in you, from anxiety and grief. I seek refuge in you from lack of strength and laziness. And I seek refuge in you for cowardliness. And we used to say niggardliness, but it's cowardliness and miserliness. This expression is a little nicer. Cowardice and miserliness. And I seek refuge in you from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. There's so many du'as that we were given as FOI, fruit of Islam, that we didn't even know that it actually came from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But thank Allah, alhamdulillah, that's also part of the grace that Allah has bestowed upon us, because inshallah, those who were, you know, we were sincere. Today is the 11th portion of the treatment of the fifth of the five daruri, those five mandatory pillars needed to establish ummah. It's been established in Islamic scholarship and accepted broadly that there are five essentials in order to have ummah. This is beyond the five pillars of Al-Islam. You have family, you have the five that I'm speaking of now. You have family, you have intellect, you have your religious life, you have yourself, you even talk about it as mental health or psychological well-being. You have the self, and there's also property. So we've gone through in the month behind us, we've gone through the family, intellect, religion, the self, and we're still in property. And I can tell you, and we've said it before, but I see several individuals who were not a part of the earlier segment, that we've been going through basically from 259, but actually goes back further, we can understand it. Surah 2, 259, all the way to the end of the surah. I don't know how long this is going to be, but I've resigned myself to the fact that we're going to do it until, quote unquote, Allah decides that, okay, well, let's wrap it up, you know. Allah will, then that's what it's going to be. But in any case, we're speaking on the issue of wealth and property, man, property. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every ummah has a trial that it has to face. He says, the trial of my ummah is mal. The trial of my ummah is property. And all you got to do, I can just say two words, Dubai. That's two syllables, right? And I'm going to let you work out the rest of it if you haven't already had a taste. But let's move on. So today, therefore, in the context of wealth, in the context of property, I'm going to focus on debt. I'm going to focus on debt, right? When the dua says being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. And so the idea of debt and oppression, but then also each one of these pairs, basically they're paired in this dua. Each one of these actually can be read as a trait that if we have them, that's what keeps us in unhealthy economic conditions. If we have these attributes, these qualities, so I'm going to go over, mashallah, inshallah, each one of them as we can. But we're talking about, because the idea about mal, the idea about wealth is getting it, holding it, using it, investing it in the best way, in the interest of Allah's order to all Muslims, wal takum minkum ummah, let there arise out of you an ummah. And just for reiteration's sake, reiteration is the mother of learning. You can't have strong ummah without strong families. You can't have strong ummah without strong intellect. You can't have strong ummah without strong ritual or religious life. You can't have strong ummah without people who are psychologically, mentally healthy and strong. You can't have ummah without that. And you can't have ummah without substantial wealth, without the right treatment and attitude towards property. Put those things in place and have it operating in the individuals who identify themselves as a community, and inshallah, you will see coming out of that strong ummah, inshallah. So the du'a began, which is going to be our, let me tell you how we got there. So this, it's all about, it's about charity, it's about giving. It's about what you do with the wealth that Allah blesses you with. That, so this was starting from 259 all the way through the whole series, is talking about how you treat and what is your attitude toward your wealth, all right? And so it's advising us, okay, this is what you should do as well. So we're at 270, so we're several verses down the road from where we began. And in this case, however, it continues to talk about charity and about devotion and how charity relates to devotion. And actually, the term is actually spending. وَأَنْفَقْتُمْ. And whatever you spend. We talked about last week particularly, like, yeah, we have to have business. We want to have business. Business is good. More than business, we have to have an economy. An economy is a network of businesses that do business, as God says, let there be traffic and trade amongst you with mutual goodwill. That is also an order. That's God telling us that we should be in business and we should be doing business with each other. Some people make the mistake of thinking that religion is all about dying and going to heaven or going to paradise and whatever, and being good, right? No. All those things are important things. But where we live on this earth, we have to have a system that meets our human needs. That's what ummah is supposed to do. But then again, it goes back to those five things. In order to have all those human needs met, then you have to put all those systems in place in order for your family needs to be met, your intellectual needs to be met, your religious needs to be met, your mental health needs to be met. And your sense of well-being, sense of worth, sense of value, sense of empowerment, all those things go into self-worth, the idea of valuing yourself. And then, of course, you have to have property. And each one of those things, when done well, contributes to the other. So in terms of the spending, that's the underlying giving. Next week, inshallah, the next verse, 271, I won't even start the reading, but the next verse begins to, it also speaks to that. It continues, but it speaks to that. Because what it is that we have an illusion. We operate under an illusion about the nature of wealth and what relationship we should have with wealth. And most of the attitudes that we have about wealth are attitudes that have been engendered into us, that have been socialized into us by the world that we live in, whose interest is to profit off of us. So in general, if you're not on the side of the equation where you are generating profit, i.e. you're in business or you are, a captain of industry or what have you, well, then you are the consumer that they're all looking for to eat off of your life until you die, and then they pass on the wealth that they acquired by while you live to their next generation, and then they teach them how to be the masters of the next consumer generation. So Allah tells us, let there be traffic and trade amongst you with mutual goodwill. So there's an obligation for us to be in business. So we're reading this out here, and it comes more so to this. وَمَا ظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And God says, right there in the verse, so it says, whatever you spend in charity or devotion, know that Allah knows it. But Allah But for the wrongdoers, the oppressors, actually, is all I mean. For the oppressors, there will be no helpers. So the invitation by the verse is saying, okay, what's the relationship between this doing charity, giving charity, economic development, how you manage your wealth? What does that have to do with oppressors right here in this particular, but for the oppressors, does it mean that if you don't give in charity or if you don't give in devotion that you are an oppressor? Maybe. But this dua came in light of that question. It said, we seek refuge with you in the last part from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. Usually when that happens, it's the creation saying, pay attention. It is, truly, mashallah. So, yeah, and for me, too. So let's walk through each one of these and relate each one of these to our economic life. All right? It says, I seek refuge from min al-hamme wal-huzn, from anxiety and grief. From anxiety and grief. What does anxiety and grief have to do with our wealth, either acquisition or utilization of our wealth? You know, you have people, you heard this, I would otherwise ask the sister, but it says kind of some kind of shopping therapy or something, retail, I think they call it retail therapy. It's that when you're feeling anxious, well, it's time for me to have some retail therapy. What does that mean? Let me go out here and spend a bunch of money and I will feel better, right? So the idea is that the anxiety for people who think that way pushes them out there. Let me go and spend more money. Bad economic behavior, right? And grief, right? Grief, again, same basis. Someone might do that. But I want to focus on the reality of anxiety and grief, right, and how this relates to our economic behavior, our economic attitude. And let me say this also. In the science of economics, you know, economics used to be under religion. In universities and colleges, it used to be under religion. Then they moved it over to philosophy or theology or something. But originally it was a religious subject, economics. So they moved over to social sciences. But originally, why? Because that's the reality of it. The reality of it, it's a spiritual thing. And all behavior is economic behavior. Each one of us here represents so much money to the oil company because you burn gas. Somebody's, whether it's public transportation or whether it's your automobile or whatever, that was money spent that you paid for, and it has an economic benefit to that. All behavior, the clothes that we're wearing, all behavior is economic behavior. Where you go, where you don't go, economic behavior. Okay, so anxiety and grief. Here's the thing to understand about anxiety and grief. Anxiety has to do with your feelings about the future. Anxiety has to do with your feelings about the future. If you think tomorrow something's going to happen bad, anxiety. Next week, next year, in the next minute, what? Anxiety. So anxiety relates to the future. Grief relates to the past. Grieving over this or grieving over that, right? Those are also economic behaviors, right? So much that could be talked about. When Wall Street talks about expectations, they talk about the economic atmosphere and the sentiment. They talk about the sentiment of the market. All those languages, as it relates to human psychology, are also economic language, and people make decisions on the basis of what the prevailing sentiment is. They even describe it, the bears and the bulls, right? We talk about the bears, they're afraid. I better hibernate. I better hold off of this. Don't sleep so much. Wait till things cool out there. Then I can come out like a bull, right? And the bull You're going after it, right? Energetic, you know, forcefully, right? But one is saying, one is talking about fear, and the other is talking about appetite, talking about desire. Okay, so anxiety and grief also ties to our economic behavior, right? And when you are anxious, then that's not optimal for your system. Listen, please. Allah has, God said, I have given you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life. Allah did not put us in creation ill-equipped for life. Allah didn't shortchange any of us. 7th chapter, 10th verse, I have given you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life. So one of the critical problems is when you're always looking for something to come from out there or someone to come from out there in order to save me economically. The wherewithal for your economic salvation is in yourself. And that's why the principal title for all these subjects is Responsibly Invest Yourself. Because what grows out of you is because of the way you've invested yourself. You're not waiting. You have responsibility. But if you're anxious, then what that does, that puts you in a suboptimal condition for as far as using the mental resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Allah has taught you the knowledge of the nature of all things. Remember this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he says, if the whole world got together to give you something and Allah didn't intend for you to have it, there's no way for you to get it. But if the whole world was against you to keep you from getting something that Allah intended for you to have, there's no way for them to stop it. When you embrace that, how much anxiety are you working with? I mean, if you really, don't just front. If you really, it's like you walk in. It's like, yeah, it's like, okay, I'm in the marketplace. I wonder if anybody's going to buy anything. I wonder if, okay, well, see, already people are going to see you when they walk up to you. What's going on with homeboy? Well, you look pretty shook, man. So maybe they'll pass you by because you're not exuding an invitation to your particular product. So the point is anxiety and grief inhibits your ability, and it also does not project the kind of, persona that would cause somebody to say, I want to be involved with whatever it is that you're offering. So in solution, so we can move to this, we'll get through as many as we can. What's the solution? Well, first, as I just mentioned, you have to completely submit to Allah. You have to completely submit to Allah. One, Bella. من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن فله أجره عند ربه لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Allah says, for sure, whoever submits their whole self to Allah, وهو محسن, and they are محسن. This is a critical thing also. When the angel Jibreel, we say peace be upon him. When the angel Jibreel came and they didn't know that it was the angel Jibreel. He went through several questions. At the end, he asked, what is ihsan? What is ihsan? And he said, ihsan is to worship Allah as though you're seeing him. But even though you can't see him, know that he sees you. So muhsin is someone who always acts as if in the presence of Allah. It has big punctuation in the verse that's coming, inshallah, next week. But the idea is, if you're always acting in a manner where you are, it's called taqwa. You're acting in a manner where God is present in this situation. God is not absent. God is not absent. Even if you ain't thinking about him, but that doesn't mean whenever the case might be. If you're not thinking of it, it doesn't matter. Allah is there, whether you're thinking about him or not. But he reminds us in the Quran. He says, don't forget about Allah as you will forget your own soul. And Allah says, remember me, and I will remember you. So they ask me concerning me. Tell them, I'm always near and listening. And let him who is a will listen to me when I call. See, Muhsin is one of them. I'm here. God is here. It's real. I know things don't look good if I just go on what I'm looking at. But I remember Allah says, what I have for you, no way for anybody to keep it from you. And what I don't mean for you to have, I don't care how many side contracts you got or how many confidences you have, it ain't happening. So what do? You submit. You submit. And then how do you move when you are submitted in that way in the presence of that reality? How do you move? How does somebody move who got it like that? It's like, what's up, man? Pass the biscuits. What? It's like there's nothing to, there's no anxiety, no grief, right? So have that. I think we may be able to cover at least one more before we, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين الله أكبر بسم الله says in the second of those pairs in the dua that we're making our comments on today أعوذ بك من الإجزاء والقسم from lack of strength and laziness. You get immediately when you think about economics, lack of strength and laziness. Think about someone who has lack of strength and who's lazy. What's their economic situation, right? So when we say we seek refuge in Allah from that, I want us to understand that the first place to seek refuge with Allah from that is from that being in ourselves. We ask Allah, we seek Allah's refuge from that, but who's responsible to make sure that we have the strength and show the strength and we energetically apply ourselves to what it is that we hope to accomplish? You hope to accomplish something, but you're lazy. How can you accomplish it if you're lazy, right? I think most of you know the Kobe stories, you know, the Kobe, what is it, Mamba mode or something like that. The Mamba mentality. As like, Kobe is like, hey, pass the ball. Man, I ain't passing the ball. Why? Because you ain't serious. You don't practice. Your work ethic is weak. That was part of the problem with him and Shaq, right? But y'all know these stories. You know, Shaq just show up, you know, to do whatever he's doing because he knew Kobe had a different work ethic. And so Kobe going to get it done. I'll just be there to back him up, right? Until the showtime somewhere, but that's another story. So in any case, this speaks to the wrong combination of ability and willingness. There are some people who have the ability, but they're unwilling to exert themselves. There are some people that have the willingness, but they don't have the ability. They give me the ball. Man, you know, you messed up so many times. It's like, I know you're willing, but you ain't able. So lack of strength and laziness has to do with the relationship between your willingness and your ability. And it's so crucial, brother and sister. Understand, the way Allah created us, Allah gifted each one of us. I can't overemphasize that. Look, that's really been my life. It's been really like from the eighth grade to my, I've just been dead on. Look, we are filled with potential. And I know the majority of us in here in so many ways have absorbed and inherited low self-esteem and a poor self-image and a weakness of our sense of ourself. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the Muslim who embraces Allah and embraces Allah saying, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created a human being in the most excellent mold. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. We taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. And all of us are Adam. There was no line that Negroes weren't in. Let's be clear on this. It wasn't that everybody got their share, we didn't get ours. No, you are a jewel. You are fraught with metaphysical. I'm going to put it that way to make you think in a different term. You're fraught with metaphysical, spiritual power that's laid like it's locked up in a safe. You just don't know the combination. Combination is the Quran plus Muhammad. With a little WD Muhammad mixed in there, I can't say. Maybe a little WD-40 too. We almost got that. Because how many generations has the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet been present? And let's turn around and look at the Muslim world. What's going on? Something's missing. You wouldn't agree with me that something's missing? So in conclusion for today, this, learn how to take your ability and your willingness to the marketplace. What I'm saying is there's more to you and I than our body. But most times in the nature of the world, we take our bodies to the marketplace and we say, rent me. You rent me? Some people get higher rents than others, just like property. Right? Some people, it's $200 an hour. You know, we're not even going to talk about athletes. They're a whole other universe. Right? But as the average individual, most of us only see our value in our ability to go and offer ourselves for rent to someone, without respect for the fact that God created you with a potential that he means for you. He still, you're alive, he still means for you to take advantage of it. Means for you to profit by your own inherent nature. Your own inherent nature. Allah has not created anyone who in their nature is useless. There is a use for each one of us, but most of us have not found the proper use for who we are. So that means you have to discover that jewel of potential and ability that Allah has put in you. This is why 2:148 comes into it. It says, to each is a goal to which he is turning, so strive is in a race towards all that is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not cheat any one of us, no matter what our condition is. But we have to believe it, and we have to go in and say, oh, this is what God gave me. And then you go to work to cultivate it. And one of the ways that it is cultivated is by you being charitable through that very talent. Give of that talent charitably. You're a builder, go do something constructive for somebody. They said, that's on me. I got that. You're a baker? I know we got people in the room who says, it's all these. And they do these things. You go and you do that as a charity. Not all the time. You know, the reality sets in. You have to respect. But God is telling us, don't neglect the fact that I gave you the talent. I gave you the ability. I gave you the resource. I helped you to realize that potential. Now go benefit somebody with it. We're going to talk about Moses when we get to Moses on that other piece. What Moses did for the women and the sheep in the water, the sheep in the water, and blah blah blah, is exactly what I'm telling you. You take your strength and you take your ability and you go help somebody who doesn't have the same strength and ability that you have. And God said, "I got you." That's what He tells us in the Quran. But if you always say, "Oh man, you gotta pay me for this," not all the time. Come on now, give some of that talent for your own sake, and that's one of the ways that you invest yourself. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل اللهم محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for our life. We thank you for our existence. We thank you for the opportunity to experience the joys and the pleasures of this life, which is not possible without your creating us. Oh Allah, we thank you for creating us. And we thank you for creating us in a manner that pleases you. Oh Allah, bless us to understand our own creation. Bless us to understand and realize our own potential. Bless us to put our potentials and abilities to work for your plan for humanity in the world. Bless us to be among those who build Ummah. We beg this of you only for none can grant it with hope but you. Amen. Allahumma amin. Wa alaikum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. Yes. Okay. Whoever's driving a gray Infiniti, you're blocking the neighbor's driveway. We're gonna, mashallah, we will make this salam, but please don't do that. We have to be good neighbors. You make people hate us. So mashallah, so let's move on. Please, so as soon as prayer's over, take care of that. Stole Sakima your home going along, double from Allah. Make our road straight and even leave no space between the straight down and the bottom of our roads on straight and hearts on the green. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترعون الجحيم ثم لترعونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم تقبل الله. So if you don't make sense, mashallah, alhamdulillah, just don't start conversation on the floor. Then we go, where's my brother Daoud? Raise your hand real quick right there. His brother Q Daoud Gray, partner of mine that go way back. I think we got about 30 years under his belt. Alhamdulillah, he's the internet reporter. Alhamdulillah, he's here visiting relatives and the like. You've seen his articles in the Muslim Journal, et cetera. So alhamdulillah, we have the benefit of having some of his material now from the masjid perspective. So welcome, Ahlan, you and your family, all right? Assalamu alaikum. You're from Newark. Newark. Is that the right way to say it? Newark. It's like when you say New Orleans, you got to say New Orleans. You don't say New Orleans. New Orleans. He's from Newark. Alhamdulillah. So, okay, a couple of announcements here. Issan and Tanya. Not my Issan today. Where is Issan go? There he is right there. Alhamdulillah. Happy anniversary, young bro. All right. He and Tanya, and also anniversary for Amatala and Muhammad Shuaib coming up August 30th. And Nazim Pasha, we want to acknowledge him on, well, tomorrow is his D-Day. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim movement, the ongoing movement to get you into your healthiest self with physical fitness trainer Ibrahim Shaheed and whole holistic health and wellness coach Kiyama Nasir is going to be right here, as always, in the backyard every Saturday at 12 noon. Bring your bottle and come on time. Bring your bottle, water, and a cup. Also, we have going to Newark. We have Newark, New Jersey, the Time to Be Grateful coming up December 7th to the 10th. You want to be a part of that. And if you're interested, you can let Amina know if you're interested. Then we can go in and buy another table to begin to have a second table. The first table is gone. To have a second table from the Bay and others who want to go to a Time to Be Grateful and also be around familiar faces at some point during the banquet, especially. We want to keep in our prayers Zakiya Rashid, Sister Emma Ricks, Khalila Muhammad, Sister Veda Bartlow, Hillock, and Imam Abu Qadir Al-Amin. Abdul Hamid Baraka, which is Samia's husband, alhamdulillah, was just announced. Sister Saud Mukhtar, Sister Saadatu Hamida Lawal Mukhtari passed away today in Nigeria. We say, may Allah have mercy on her and forgive her shortcomings and grant her paradise, inshallah. All right. Also, we have some Ramadan session volume 3. You can check with Amina for that. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right here? Oh, I got you. I got you. Alhamdulillah, shukran. How you doing, young man? Back in school, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let me pull out. I thought I'd block that.